Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From a Nottingham Forest point of view, just a general question first, really, is that can any of it, or could any of it have been handled a lot better by all concerned?
Well, I can't concern myself with other people's business, in our own, and there's plenty of it. So my focus is on that. It's up to everyone else to, conduct themselves in the way that they see fit, whether that's managers, players, coaches, staff, owners. That's up to them. It's nothing to do with me.
You do have, or you have had decisions, though, go against you this season. Is it just a general overview of what could be done and how it can be handled?
No, I think the idea, taking the Forest situation, I think the idea of VAR was to tidy up as many decisions as possible. Statistically, it's shown that it is doing. I've always spoken about how we could streamline it and the like. Fast track it, if you like, because I think we all... there's certain instances in games which are quicker than others. I think, even to the naked eye, we can all see it, and it seems to take a long time. We had an offside earlier this season that seemed to take about two and a half, three minutes. Anani Danjuma had been pulled down in the box before that. So I'm like, well, it's a clear foul. You didn't need to worry about the offside because it's a clear foul. So I think things like that can be speeded up. But mostly... for the greater good of it, I think as long as they keep learning and speeding it up, I still think it's a good thing for the outcomes of games. I appreciate, from a supporter's view, it can get in the way of things, but it's like the old favourite. If it goes for you, you're having it. If it goes against you, you're not. It's simple as that, and there has to be some form of getting these decisions right, and they're doing the best they can with a better way of doing it. Currently, I think with VAR. But eventually, the powers that be, the fans, everyone has a voice, so... will it stay or go will be the debate going forwards. But the stats suggest it does get things right more often than not.
Will a tracksuit stay or go?
Seriously, I didn't realise how much heat, noise, whatever you want to call it, I didn't realise how much was going to come from that. It wasn't a major decision in my life. I have lots of decisions to make here, trust me, that are far more important than that. Bit of banter from the players and ex-players and the like. My daughter included. No, I'm not too worried about that. I'll decide tomorrow, whenever I wear.
And talking of tomorrow, it does sound strange thinking this, but this is actually your first home Merseyside derby. It feels like you've been here for quite some time.
With it does to me, trust me.
Is it something you're looking forward to then?
Yeah, of course. The away game's different because obviously the feel in the stadium. Home game, I'm well aware of all the records that people keep telling me and all the rest of it. I'm looking forward to the game, but it's a game, I think derbies are the game of the people from where they live. I didn't grow up here, so I won't have that depth of understanding. What I do understand is how important it is to be Everton's manager, that's for sure, in all games, and particularly this one, for the obvious reason.
It's always an emotional sort of fixture and the rivalry as well, and it's Jurgen Klopp's last one in charge of Liverpool, and there is so much at stake, not just for Liverpool, but for you as well, and to continue that run that you found yourself on this month with your two home wins so far.
Yeah, it was important. The wins for different reasons, of course, changing the story, the narrative, also the physical side of it, getting points on the table. The performance side of it is relevant, but in the way that results are more relevant. So yeah, two good wins, two clean sheets at home. We want to continue that form, whoever it's against. It just happens this one's against Liverpool. Going back to Jurgen Klopp, I think, you know, to be clear, it's obviously a tough call when you're Everton's manager. But taking that aside, being Everton's manager, massive respect for him. You know what he's done, his last game here, his last derby and the games to come, and who knows, that, you know, still pushing. But massive respect for what he's done there and his other clubs. I mean, it's not, the one thing I've learned about management, it's not easy to build things. It's not easy to first get the time to build things, and therefore you've got to win enough to get the time, to get the belief of people to build things. And he's done it at three different clubs. I think, that, you know, fair play to him, massive respect for that.
And just a word on your team news, lastly from me. Beto, what is the situation with him and his recovery? I guess maybe he's unlikely to feature.
Yeah, you know, he definitely won't feature these next couple of games, but he'll be back after that for the protocols, and rightly so. But good news so far. He's had all the checks needed, and he's fine. Just obviously took a real knock. But I thought the staff were terrific. We want that. All staff involved were terrific, getting on there quick and dealing with things effectively on his behalf.
And Dominic
Calvert-Lewin? Yeah, he's hopeful that he'll be back for tomorrow. We'll wait and see till tomorrow, but hopeful on that one.
Hi, Sean. Great atmosphere at the weekend. You spoke about the rise of the Toffees before the Chelsea game. How much did you
feel? Yeah, it didn't work.
How much did you feel the atmosphere at home in that one, and how important will that be tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to get that idea that, you know, the ups and downs of the club down the years have meant a lot to people in different ways, obviously, some good, some not. You know, sort of trying to get everyone on board in the sense that everyone's nose needs to stay pointed in the right direction. Fantastic, I thought, because it's not easy. You know, myself, the team, we're way off the mark, let ourselves down against Chelsea, and to respond with the fans being in full voice and behind us, I think was a brilliant thing. I was, you know, couldn't be more pleased with that side, and the players, of course, delivering a performance. Very strong performance physically and giving everything for the shirt, which I said that was one thing I could guarantee. That was obviously not on show the previous game, but it certainly was against Forest. The stats back that, the physical stats and the amount of ground covered, the willingness, the desire to work hard for the team and for the badge, you know, and I think it's important. The crowd saw that, but they definitely had an effect from the off, you know, straight away. The positivity and the feel in the stadium was spot on, and I can only ask them for more of that.
I spoke to Mikhailenko this morning. He said about how hard it is.
He said I should wear a suit, apparently, I was told.
He said how hard it is to come up against Mo Salah, and how much you could see how much enjoyment he got from keeping him quiet in the 1-1 game last season, and you could tell that it was something that he's really focused on, having that same impact against specifically Mo Salah again. How much focus has there been on those individual battles?
So has he picked himself just so I know?
Oh,
right, yeah, okay. Well, I'll have a word with him. Oh, you picked the team, apparently. No, look, he's learning. Since I've been here, I think he continues to improve. He's good around the place. He's very quiet, you know, keeps himself to himself, but he's very professional in what he does. And, you know, I think visibly from what I've seen in my time here, he's learned, he's progressed, and he continues to do so. And he's had, you know, it's not an easy task managing some of these players. Not managing them, but, you know, dealing with them as a player 1v1. And I think he's done that very well. I still think there's more to come from him. You know, I still think he's a relative young player and into his learning in the Premier League. And I think he's a very good player.
How much focus?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
They've been on those individual battles, but also enjoying, like it seems, Mykolenko, is the challenges that they pose.
Well, I think all, you know, all of the players, you know, on a football pitch, I mean, old-fashioned terms, but win your headers, win your tackles, win your races. You know, that used to be a big thing when I was playing, and it's still kind of there, really. You know, that's just your own individual moment in a game when you're dealing with whoever you're playing against. And I think that's not just about fullbacks. I think it's about every position. You know, you can win your battles in a different way. You know, if you're centre forward, you might win it with your cleverness, not always with your physicality. So, you know, there's different ways of winning your battles. But I don't think that goes anywhere other than the start point of a team game. You know, you've still got to, well, in this case, football, when you've got someone against you, you've got to know what your role is against that player, but also your covering role as part of a team unit. And I think, so therefore, rather than, my point was, rather than just worry about each individual, there's got to be a connectivity within the team. And that's where the shape comes important, and the tactics, and, you know, the delivery of a physical performance to cover the ground, you know, needed. And, you know, you want that individual battle for each player to connect as a team. And that way, if you get that right, you've got a better chance of getting what you want, which is to win.
You also said that he's enjoying this intense spell of games, 3 games at home in a week. Is that a feeling shared by yourself and the rest of the squad?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, you know, the fixture conundrum is not easy, I'm sure. We had that crazy December and then a really quiet period, and then all of a sudden we got 3 games, you know, and it comes up pretty quick. But that's the way it goes. I've never really cried in about that. That's the reality. That's what we said we've got to play. I always show the players in advance when, you know, fixtures are changed. Say, right, there it is. That's what we're doing. That's the programme. And then it's for myself, the staff and the players somewhat to manage the situation as regards the rest, the recuperation, the understanding of the last performance and the next one, and cramming that all into a couple of days. And that's just the challenge of what it is.
Thanks, Alan. We'll go to Ian at Media Moses.
Hi, Sean.
Hi.
You made some changes for the Forest game, and in midfield you had Idrissa Garnaghay. How pleased were you with his performance? The goal is a great bonus to have, but just generally the work that he does, which quite often can go unnoticed, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, he knows the game, that's for sure. He's with his experience and his ability to read the game, and he does that very well, and I thought he did that very well against Forest. And also he can play, and, you know, scored doesn't score loads of goals, but that's another important one. Scored one down at Palace as well from a good move, you know, and a good strike from distance that gets a goal for us. So yeah, I mean, he's done well with injuries recently, because there have been close decisions on whether we could play him or not, and he's come through, and he's got through again the other day. So he's definitely an important figure in what he does on the pitch around the group.
Is that an important part of the feel for a game like this against Liverpool, that midfield area particularly?
Oh, it's all, you know, they're a good outfit without a doubt. You know, we've got to be ready all over the pitch. It's not just about the midfield.
The 2 goals that you scored against Forest were similar in that they came just outside the box. Is that something you encourage as a manager when a player sees an opportunity to shoot, even if it's from long range, you encourage that?
I've been encouraging the players to find different ways of scoring. That's the plan. It's not been easy this season. We all know that. But, you know, we've had games, I said after the game, we've had games where we've created way better chances and more of them and not won and not taken the chances. And yet Saturday, not as many on the chance count, not as higher XG, but we score 2. And that's the conundrum of football sometimes. It's how you find ways of scoring. So they're certainly under nothing other than to be positive from a certain area of the pitch to go and score. You know, if they're from distance, fine, that's great, they only add on to the tally. But it's just fair to say that it's rare that you score constantly from long range, but it's a weapon. And I think Dwight's particularly, I mean, to be fair, the first one, you know, we call it a slow ball. When it goes in, it's such a weird tempo that it can catch keepers out, and it did. The second one actually is quicker than you think. You know, I've watched it back a couple of times, it does fly a little bit from Dwight and gets a good bounce off the post and goes in. So, but no, we're asking the team to create as many different ways as we can to be effective. This time it's from distance. We'll see what the next one brings.
And you must be pleased as well with the statistically, in terms of your home record, conceding goals. I think only the top three have conceded fewer, and the wins that you've had have all been clean sheets. So how important has that been for you in terms of your defensive display?
Well, it's important when you know, early season, as I said, we're creating so much and not winning games, so we had to find different ways of operating. If you're not clinical, if you're not taking chances, the belief in the team defensively to continue what they're doing, and the consistency of the defensive side of the game, It has to be there, you know, and if you're not managing to score freely and not taking your chances, then we still need that strength of the team unit. And a lot of it on Sunday, was built around the fact that the sheer physical output of the players was very, very good. And that's often the case when you're playing that style and you win games. And I spoke to the players about that, but that was very pleasing as well. Not just the defenders, not just the keeper. Jordan made a terrific save, obviously an important save. But the unit, you know, from the front of the team to the back of the team, all has to be in place.
And you mentioned Jürgen earlier. You've had a few battles over the years against him. You've beaten him a couple of times as well. So what is the key? What have you got to do really well?
Well, you've got to play well. You know, you've got to play well, and you know, you've got to deliver your side of the game. You've got to deal with theirs, because they can operate in different ways. They've shown that, and the effective unit they have, and they're still right in there now. But you've got to play well. You know, the big emphasis will be on us, our home pitch, our home crowd, and our home performance has to be right.
Thanks, Ian. We'll go to Phil at the press office.
Excuse me.
Cheers. I just wanted to check on one more player. Seamus Coleman didn't make the squad.
Oh, yeah, it's a fair one. He won't make the game. He's recovering. He's back on the grass, but he won't make it for tomorrow.
Great. Cheers.
Any further questions in the open section before we move on? No? Okay.
Thank you.